Ja, mich baut der Rest den Affenzeller.
G'day everyone, welcome to another episode of Swiss Pats. If you can hear Full House in the background, that's thanks to my daughter who came home at 2 o'clock today. Welcome, thank you for listening, thank you for being here. I'm Susie Lyon and I'm joined by Don Delco.
Yeah.
The cast of Full House.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, if I'm not fully engaged in this episode, it's because
You can see the TV.
I'm watching Full House.
I've maybe seen these episodes 30 times because my daughters are obsessed.
I don't know what's better, the fashion or the hairstyles.
It's all good.
Mainly the fashion.
Yeah, it's okay. Pretty good. So we've got a great episode coming up for you. We've got Reggie coming on, who's going to talk to us about his personal training business in Basel and his story, his journey about being in Switzerland from the Netherlands. And that is coming up later in the episode.
I think our first former professional football player.
Yes, like an actual proper football player.
Yeah.
Like not someone who just plays keepy-uppy in the park. Like someone who actually plays football for real.
Yeah, he got paid to play soccer.
Yeah, so it was nice to be in the presence of such athleticism.
Yes, and he's also a personal trainer, so
yeah, that's why we had him on. So not just to talk about soccer / football.
It got weird when Susie asked him to take his shirt off, but other than that, it was a lovely episode.
You know, his girlfriend was there, so I just
you're much more reserved.
I had to be reserved. Yeah,
that was nice of you.
So before we get to that, let's talk about some things that are happening in the news now. For those who have been living in their bunker, maybe on purpose, maybe by accident, right. Coronavirus is basically taking up every single space of news. So finding stories to talk about that have nothing to do with coronavirus, a little difficult.
I know. I mean, we usually go on WRS on Fridays, talk about what's happening in the different parts of
Switzerland. Yeah.
Nothing.
And we said to WRS this week, there's nothing happening.
No.
Yeah, everything's been cancelled.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No WRS this week. No.
Do you have coronavirus?
No, I do not.
Okay, either do I.
So no, we're good. That's all right then. So we're all right. We can carry on.
Okay.
Luckily, we have a home-based business.
Yes.
So we're going to be all right. What is your story, Don? I know you're desperate to tell me one.
I'm very excited. It's, you know, we like to talk about food on here, you know?
We do.
And this one melds food and being a champion in something. So there
is it a food eating competition like hot dogs?
No.
Oh.
Joey Chestnut. Do you know who that is?
Did he eat the most hot dogs?
He's like a competitive eater. Like that's what he does.
You've seen the way I eat. So there's gross. No way I could be a competitive eater.
You would be the worst.
Yeah. I wouldn't even finish a single hot dog.
You would have like a bite of a hot dog and pat the corner of your mouth and be I'm done.
Yeah. Donuts, though.
You would have one.
True. Yeah.
Can you eat a lot of donuts in one time? Like, if you really were getting after it, would you still have, like, a little donut and be good?
No, I could eat a lot of donuts.
Okay.
Yeah. If I hadn't eaten anything, like, yesterday I had two donuts. Today I had one.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I love donuts.
But you're thinking about it right now. I could see.
Yeah.
There's a sparkle in your eye when you talk about donuts.
There is, isn't there?
Well, this isn't about donuts. This is about cheese.
Oh, cheese.
And a Swiss Gruyere won the World Cheese Championships in the U.S. Now, it took place in Madison, Wisconsin. Now, if you don't know...
Oh, Wisconsin's famous for cheese.
Wisconsin is famous for cheese and cows. It's kind of like Switzerland, but their mountains are not nearly as tall.
Okay.
However, there was a gentleman by the name of Michael Speicher, who is from Bern, and last Thursday, he won the top prize because of his this World Championship cheese contest is held every other year, and he got a 98.81 points out of a maximum 100 in the final round.
Wow, well done, Michael.
This is his second title as maker of the world's best cheese. He first clinched the title in 2008.
Okay, that's a big difference. He spent the last 10 years perfecting it.
Second place was also won by a Swiss cheesemaker. This person from the northeastern Swiss canton of St. Gallen for a Galles Grand Cru cheese. And the third spot went to a Gouda cheese. Gouda is Gouda.
Yeah.
From the Netherlands.
Well, that's Gouda for
but
them.
But Swiss took one and two in the World Cheese Championships.
That's pretty awesome. Well done. Especially a world championship based in America that doesn't just have Americans.
Yes. We included the whole world.
The whole world.
Aren't you proud of us?
Yeah, I am. You're starting to realize like, oh yeah, we can have a world championship that's not just America.
Because when our American professional teams win a title, they're known as world champions.
Yeah. No one understands why.
Yeah.
But you understand.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're the world champions in American football. Like, nobody's better than the Kansas City Chiefs last year. They were the world champions. Who's going to beat them in American football? Okay.
Right.
Baseball, same thing. Who's going to beat the baseball team?
Other countries play baseball.
Right. But everybody comes to America to play Major League Baseball. It's the best in the world.
But everyone comes to Switzerland to make cheese.
Exactly.
So, as is proven by the World Championship Cheese Contest.
So, check this out. The jury had to assess the merits of 3,667 cheeses. That's a lot of cheeses.
That is.
In more than 100 categories. I would assume the jury was also fed a lot of fiber.
Do you think that they did it, like, you know those baby bells? You know how it's like a mini
yeah.
cheese?
Yeah.
Do you think that they, like, had to provide a mini version of their cheese? Like, the cutest cheese wins. This is my cheese, and here it is in some wax.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It is wild. That is just... That's just a lot of cheese.
Well, we know that Swiss cheese is good, so it's good that it had got some recognition across the pond.
They won 7 gold medals, 10 silver, and 7 bronze.
This is just at this championship.
Yeah.
So they've entered more than one cheese, and they won 7 times.
Right, because there's a bunch of different categories. Yeah. You know, the overall one went to 2 Swiss guys.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Do you remember, Don, one of the stories we did, very... Early days when we were just doing stories and guests, early days Swiss Pats, we talked about a Swiss cheese guy who was playing hip-hop music to yes. his cheese to make it better. And it was with a blind test, it was decided that hip-hop exposed cheese tasted better than non-hip-hop exposed cheese.
I do remember that story.
I wonder if he's still doing that.
Why not?
I mean, I'm going to reach out and going to find out. I'm yeah. like, excuse me, sir, do you still play hip hop to your cheese? And why didn't you win at the World Championship?
His cheese would have got 100 out of 100 if he would have used hip hop.
Yeah, they were like, this is so cool.
Yeah. He missed out on those 2 crucial points.
Yeah, the hip and the hop.
Oh, God. Oh,
I've done wow. it to you today. I've told you lots of jokes that you've thought were hilarious. That one just took you right over the edge.
Ooh, man, that was a tough one to recover from.
Oh, wow. Sorry. Well, I mean, I'm really happy for Michael. I think that's awesome, and it's nice to get Swiss cheese recognized around the world.
It is.
So well done to him, and also to the Netherlands. Gouda must be
Gouda
Dutch cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
You don't know? Have you ever had a piece of
cheese? No, I've had Gouda cheese before. I just didn't know it was Dutch.
What's your favorite cheese?
Cheddar. I'm not sophisticated. There's nothing sophisticated about me, Don. Get me some cheddar. I'll eat that all day.
Like out of a can? Like that kind?
No. Real cheddar. Oh,
well, that's then you are sophisticated. Cheddar. If you'd eat out of a can, then I'd be like, yeah.
No, I don't eat it out of a can. I don't eat it like runny cheese. I like...
Cheese Whiz.
No.
Not Cheese Whiz. What's the cheese in a can?
Cheese Whiz.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. No, thank you. I like cheddar. Real cheddar, but it is cheddar nonetheless. Okay. So British cheese, it's not winning it many awards, is it?
Well, maybe in Britain.
Yeah, they give themselves a pat on the back.
They do.
You make good cheese, Britain.
Good job, Nigel. Well done.
Yeah.
Old chap.
So that's enough about cheese. Let's get to, well, you know, maybe we shouldn't have talked about cheese when we're having a, you know, someone who is very, you know, concerned and thinks a lot about their health.
It's true, but Reggie will tell you in the interview, like, it's okay. He's not going to, if you get personal training from Reggie, he's not going to be like, you can never have anything that's donuts or cheese or things like that.
Right. And that's what we learned from Reggie, that you do not have to be kind of really, really.
All right, and joining us now is Reggie Faria.
Yes.
How did I do?
He is going to tell us all about it.
Perfect. Okay. He's being kind. I did it okay. So Reggie Faria is a, well, I guess you could tell our listeners who you are and why you're on the podcast, I guess.
My name is Reggie Faria. I'm from Holland. I'm 38 years old. I'm a former professional football player, and I'm a personal trainer.
Okay. So you are here in Basel. How long have you been here in Switzerland?
I'm here now for a little bit longer than 1 year.
Okay. Are you sitting next to the reason you're in Switzerland?
Yes, that's the biggest reason.
Okay. Reggie, tell everybody who you're sitting next to.
Next to me is my girlfriend, Katja.
Okay. So where'd you guys meet?
How we meet? She got her own dance school and she organized dance parties from the salsa and kizomba. And I'm a kizomba dancer as well. And yeah, that's how we met.
Ah. So who swept who off whose feet on the dance floor?
till the day of today, we are not sure about.
Oh, okay, it was mutual.
We are still discussing about this. But
is he a good dancer?
Yes, he is.
Okay. But you're not here to talk about dance. You're here to talk about your personal training. But we want to start with. So you're a first professional football player.
Yes.
Tell us how you did that. How you got to that level of playing professional football?
I was 4 years old when I started to play football. And in the age of 12, I was scouted by Ajax. And from 12 to 16, I went to Ajax. And and then I got more teams.
Is that like an academy?
Yes.
Okay, so at 12, who saw you? Like how did that happen? I mean, Is it you were in Amsterdam? I'm assuming football is pretty competitive there. Were you playing in a competitive team at that age, or how did that work?
I was playing in one amateur team, and it called FNC. And through a team in Amsterdam, we went on a tournament, and we played against Ajax.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, then they saw me because they were like, "Hey, who is this guy? I think we need him." Yeah.
He's kicking our ass. We need him on our team.
And that's how it actually started.
Okay.
Yeah.
So from four, you just football has been.
Yeah, it's my it's my life. Football.
Yeah, and this is what's interesting to me because in my former life, I talked to a lot of athletes and.
I let you have the microphone.
Thank you. Yeah. You played 10 years, and then it ends.
Yes.
So how does it end?
Then it ends not nice because I'm still fit and I actually want to keep playing. But then they come always about, but you're 38 years already, so you're too old.
Yeah.
And I'm like, old? Age is just a number, you know. So if I can still do it on the pitch, you know, can show myself, then why should age be a problem? And for them, it's still like, no, you're getting old. You're old. You cannot. Yeah,
I know. And it's like 38. You're like, I have my whole life ahead of me.
Yes.
So, what did you do? Like when nobody started calling anymore, nobody wanted you to play.
Yeah, then you have to make a life switch because my whole life was about football and I didn't do better than football. And then after my career, I started to go for my certifications as a fitness instructor, then personal trainer, then with the nutrition and with the myelogenics to treat certain injuries.
Okay. Yeah. And so this whole business thing, tell us a little bit about why you decided to go into this avenue, this personal training, this type of stuff?
Personal training I started with because I wanted to stay in the sport and I wanted to help people who are struggling with, for example, weight, because there are a lot of people who are struggling with that and they want to get rid of the kilos. And for me, sport is normal, but it's not for everybody like that. A lot of people, they don't like to sport or go to the gym or whatever. And why I started to do it is like, to help them as much as possible, to give them a healthy as possible lifestyle.
So mentally, it's more of a challenge.
Yes, it's...
What are the challenges mentally when you're a professional football player? I mean, did you face that as well?
Ooh, yeah, of course. You got a lot of, it's a lot of pressure. You're always in the center of attention. You have to play with in full stadiums. You're a role model, you know. So you cannot do everything because young kids are watching you, and you have to be be a great role model.
Yeah, and so it's like it's that whole challenge of the physical nature of it, but also the mental aspect.
Yeah.
But now you're using that kind of same idea somewhat is just normal run of the mill. Morons like Susie and I who just want to work out, like, you know, it's, yeah, the physical nature, but also mentally.
Yes, it is. Lifestyle changing, for example, it's a little bit more difficult than people think. You know, the people think like, yeah, I go to the gym and then the magic will happen.
Right.
Unfortunately, not. It's 70% is nutrition. And nutrition, yeah, we all like to eat and enjoy life, and that's still possible even if you change to make a lifestyle change, but you still have to take care of what you're consuming. What goes in has to also go out, and there has to be a balance between what you're with the nutrition and the training. The one goes, they work together. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I was going to say, what's the secret? Because you were saying it's not this, easy thing, but it sounds like there actually is no secret. It's about having a balance.
Yes, it's about having a balance and planning. It's all about planning. I like to make always the comparison with a car. You know, a car without without fuel is not going nowhere. If you put the wrong fuel in the car, it's also going nowhere. So that's also with our body. You know, our body is, you have to treat it really well. And with the right nutrition, you can save your own life and be, how you say it? You're not using medicines. You don't have to use medicines and things like that. So, yeah.
So you said something about, I'm going to say it wrong, I'm sure, but you're certified in Mylogenics.
Yes.
We discussed it briefly before we started recording about what that is. Give our listeners just a little bit of idea if they've never heard of that.
Mylogenics is a unique revalidation treatment method. If you got, for example, a frozen shoulder, some people go to the physiotherapist. I'm not a physiotherapist, so let me make that clear, but they go to the physiotherapist and he start to treat you at your shoulder. I try to look a little bit different because the body is connected in all the tissues. And for example, if you got pain in your right shoulder, it can come out of your left hip. So you have to see the whole picture and try to find where's actually the problem. Because most of the time, if you got pain here already, it comes from somewhere else.
I'm interested in that because I'm thinking of all of the things I've got pain. I'm like, okay. My knees hurt. Where is the pain coming from? So maybe you can give me some hints.
Which knee? What?
Both.
Knees?
Both knees.
Okay.
No, I mean my knees are pretty shot because I used to play netball when I was a kid.
Okay.
And netball's like a sport where you stop very fast.
Yes.
And yeah. Now I'm. I still consider myself quite young, but my knees are like an old lady's pair of knees.
There could be different things. It can come under the foot. It can be in your calves. It can be in the front of the shin. I have to search it.
So,
provocation test, I can find out.
So by working with somebody with the Mylogenics, you kind of work that out. So it's like a really individual-based thing.
Yes. For example, when we are starting to train and with the Mylogenics, during the training, I can help you immediately already like, okay, you got pain there. We're going to treat it. And then we start to do the exercise again. The goal is to improve movement. So there I can see already like, okay, we got results or I have to do something else.
Awesome. I mean, it definitely sounds like something I should be getting involved in. Give us an idea, like what does a typical training session with you look like?
A typical training session, it depends on the goal.
Say weight loss training.
Yeah, okay, that's a nice one because a lot of people come with this question to me. First, we start with the interview intake. Because I want to get know more of you, like how is your lifestyle now? Do you got injuries? Do you got a stressful job and things like that? How is your way of sleeping? Because that's also important. Then, if you got that, then we will start trial training. And trial training, I do some basic exercises like squats, push-ups to see how your function. And then based on that, I can see if I have to go left or right and make the personalized program.
I want to ask you something. Now, I think I already know what you're going to say, but do me a favor and be completely honest.
Yes.
When I think of doing personal training, I think they're going to think I can't do it right, or they're going to think I'm too like unfit, or, you know, they're going to judge me basically for not having a healthy lifestyle or something. Like, is that... I'm going to guess you're going to say, of course you don't do that. But, you know, really, yeah, you know, it's all about, I'm assuming, that basically reassure me that that is not how personal trainers work. You're not judging the person. You're proud
exactly.
of them.
Yeah, that's the most important thing you're telling me now, that we are proud, because you're making the step to come to me and you have the trust in me. So if you got the trust in me, then I want to help you with all my knowledge, what I got. And yeah, that's really important also. That's also one of my qualities, to make you feel comfortable.
Awesome. Yeah. What do you do when someone's like, I can't do it, I'm too slow or something? You like, are you like, you can do it?
No,
or you like...
No, not at all. Not at all. Because then you shock the person and that person never come back.
Yeah.
So you have to, yeah. Also, my experience, I'm 7 years already in this business. So you slowly start to know with who you got to do. You know, if some person you have to be more kind, or if a person you have to be more like, hey, but next time you have to be a little bit more. You see?
Yeah, so you really tailor it to the person. Yeah. That's awesome. Because when someone tells me that, like, I'm not working hard enough, I like stop working. I'm like, I'll show you not working hard enough.
No, the thing with personal training is like, there where you would stop normally, I push you a little bit further, that you go a little bit, yeah, passing the line, you know, passing the border, like there where you think that you are, I cannot do it anymore, then there are maybe two more sets inside and that I wanted to push out. I would actually try to get the best out of you. Yeah.
So I'm interested how the transition's going to Switzerland. What's it been like? What have you found about Switzerland that's been interesting, difficult, easy?
Oh my Lord, it's really difficult. Until now, I'm still struggling, but I'm a positive person, and my main sentence or slogan is like, giving up is not an option. So it's hard, and yeah, I went through more hard times in life, also in my professional football career. So yeah, if you give up, then for sure you're not going to reach it. And if you keep going, yeah, of course, then one day it has to be. Yeah, it has to be done.
What's been something here that you've actually, you're talking about being positive, that you actually do like about living here, living in this area?
Positive is like, yeah, slowly I start to find my way here. But still, I'm not completely get used to yet. And I got my support next to me, so she's supporting me there where she can. But she's also busy. She got her own dance studio. So,
Do you go to any FC Basel games?
No, I'm actually after I stopped my career as a professional football player, I didn't really follow football anymore.
Just completely out of sight, out of mind.
Because it's still hard for me, because I know that I still can do it, and I'm not allowed to do it anymore.
Right, right. Because I was going to say, like, you're probably watching those FC Basel guys. Yeah, no, I didn't. That guy sucks. That guy's shitty. I'm better than him.
But this I got, yeah. Also, when I'm watching teams in Holland, you know, for example, and I'm like, yeah, I still can do it, but I don't get the chance anymore. So that's a little bit frustrating.
So your childhood, two things. One, growing up in Amsterdam, which, you know, as an American, we have our things of Amsterdam. But also growing up in this academy where you're basically, they're grooming you to be a football player. I mean, what was that like, that childhood? Was it different than some of your other friends, or all your other friends are doing the same thing?
No, it's really different. For example, school is for them really important. They are like, yeah, not all of you will be a professional football player. So they also try to let you see the other side. Like, okay, but if you are not going to get a professional football player, then you should do something else. And this is where they are really strict on. For example, you go to school. They come to pick you up with a little van. Then you go to Ajax, you make your homework, you eat, you train, they bring you back home. So there's no space to do anything else.
Okay.
So it was really...
You couldn't really get in trouble.
No, not at all. Not at all. And that's really easy to get in trouble in Amsterdam. So yeah.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. What do you miss most about home now that you've kind of lived here? Or are you used to living in different places because of the
career? Yeah, because of football, I get used to travel and live in different places. Mm-hmm. My last experience as a professional football player was, for example, in Israel.
Okay.
So, it was short, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, you guys briefly touched on it, but I was interested in your perspective of it. That thing about age and leaving football, you know, you get to a certain age and no one really, you know, is interested. All of a sudden you've got that kind of ticket on you that, you know, you're of a certain age.
Yeah.
Do they prepare you for that when you're going through, you know, when you're a 12-year-old, are they like, this is a limited time career?
No, they don't prepare you for that. That it's maybe some space to improve that. But in my time, they didn't prepare us for that. You know, it's like... Because some persons are fit and some persons not. I played also football with some guys. They were younger than me and they were completely done already. The knees are done. They cannot run anymore and things like that. So, yeah, it depends. For example, one of the famous Dutch players, Clarence Seedorf, for example, he was 40-something. So that's also with our life. It depends how you were with your body, you know, if you were taking care of your body, good sleep, good eat, right nutrition, etc. Then, yeah, we are getting older also in life. So that's why I cannot accept it that football is going like this. You know, yeah, you're 38, so then you cannot play anymore. So
yeah, like 28 is so young.
38.
So but it's so young to like... When you start hitting your 30s, just to kind of have that realization, oh my gosh, this is limited. I'm going to have to find something else to do. But you say, like, there's no preparation for that. It must be a real shock to kind of have that realization. Or maybe, like, if you're in your 20s, you're like, it won't happen to me.
That's a little bit the thing, yeah. It's, you know that it's limited because, you know, with football you can earn a lot of money and you have to do that in a short of time. I didn't become a millionaire, so that's why I have to work now as a personal trainer, you know. But, you have to do it in a short time. That is everybody knows. But still, then after a day you can bring you in the direction of trainer, coach. But that's never what I really... see myself in, as to be a football trainer or whatever.
Okay, so that was never like your kind of dream or your desire. You weren't like, oh, I'll just do the, what do they do, the massaging on the pitch when they fall over and get a cramp.
Nothing for me, no.
You're like, not for me.
No, and I also don't like stress. I'm a person who I like to laugh. I like to make jokes and I don't like stress at all. So
I mean, football is a pretty high stress. It's a high stress sport. Like it's a very quick game.
Yeah.
Don, I think, is wondering where all the goals are. But but I get it. You know, it's a very fast-paced game.
Yeah.
So you're right. Like it is actually, if you were on the side, it would be a stressful job.
As well as
playing.
As a trainer, for example, it's a lot of stress. You see it now these days. If you have 5 bad results, then they fire you already. So you're always under stress, you know. That's nothing for me.
No. So let us know how people can get in contact with you if they're like, hey, that sounds like something I want to get involved with, you know, personal training, you know, personalized, you know, training with you that will help them, you know, reach their goals, either whether it be weight loss or getting fit or whatever it may be.
I got different programs. For example, I got every Saturday my boot camp. That's also in the dance studio of my girlfriend. It starts at 12:30 till 13:30. That's a group class. It's high interval intensity training. For example, my way of doing bootcamp is we start with 10 exercises and you do that for 30 seconds and you got 15 seconds rest and then you repeat the same exercise. Then we go to the next. And then until we finish the 10 exercises, then you got one round finished. Then we got still 2 more to go. But the nicest thing is you can do it on your own level. Not because of I can do it really fast. You do it on your own speed and your own fitness, you know. And that's the nicest thing of the bootcamp. You are in a group and still can do your own thing. with the personal trainer who is even correcting you there where you're, for example, not make the right movement or this is, to correct you and these kind of things.
And so then you also have, like, do you also do one-on-one sessions as well?
Yes, yes, okay. And small group and
Okay, and they just contact you on your website?
Yes, you can contact me on my website. Do I have to? It's www.regifaria-personaltraining.com.
Okay.
You can send me an email. That's info@regifaria-personaltraining.com. You can find me on Instagram. I guess that's also Regifaria Personal Training. That's the main... Okay. Where you can find me.
We'll link to all that stuff and tag you on Instagram and all that. Okay, now, does she take your boot camp and do you take her dance classes or you don't
yes,
do that
yes,
anymore?
Yes, we do the both. Yes, oh, okay. Yes, yes. Okay. When I met her, she was never went to a gym and the opposite is the same. I was never thought that I was going to take salsa classes or things like that. So, yeah, we switch roles. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Reggie,
before you sign off, I'm not going to let you guys leave without showing us a dance.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. That'll be on our social media stuff. Yeah, we're going to see it for sure.
Next time.
Reggie, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me here. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Reggie. And also, I'd like to just say I'm watching, been watching Full House, and Aunt Becky was a smoke show.
Fox.
Uncle Jesse did good for himself. Yeah. He really did. I mean, that's what happens when you're a musician, right?
Yep.
Even though if you really watch it closely, he has no idea how to play an instrument. He fakes it all the time.
There's a lot of things in that show that are questionable, and him playing an instrument is the least of the worries, in my opinion.
It is not. They don't even try to attempt that he knows how to play the guitar.
Okay. Well, I definitely can't. But, you know, that's what a good actor is. You know, just acting it, just doing it.
Well, before we get to another show or another story, and before I talk more about Aunt Becky, I just want to give a quick shout out to Jonathan Martin of A Shropshire Lad in Switzerland on the Facebook page. He is a great follow. Give his page a like to find out the latest Swiss news in English. And obviously, that's kind of important nowadays with the coronavirus and everything. You want to get some good English news. So give his page a like. He's really good about keeping that updated throughout the day, throughout the week, about the latest news of Switzerland in English. So that's Shropshire Lad.
In Switzerland.
There you go.
Thank you, Jonathan. Now, before we head out for another interview, another episode ending, I pose a question to you. We have discussed this on the podcast before, and I want to find out if you remember. Do you remember the Eurovision?
I remember you explaining to me what the hell it is.
Do you remember what it is or not?
Yes, it's a singing competition based by country.
Yes. Very good, Don.
Thank you.
Well
done.
See,
sometimes I pay attention when you talk.
Yeah, maybe sometimes. So it is. It's Eurovision Song Contest is a Europe-wide contest where each country has a singer/band/group that they present a song, and every year that the countries provide somebody to do that, and then they go to the country that won the year before.
And you don't allow US because we would kick ass every year.
Yeah, that's what they say. But people who are from the US can perform in Eurovision. They just need to represent a European country. Ah. So Americans have sung at Eurovision before.
They have?
Yeah. So Switzerland is in Europe.
It is.
Newsflash.
Look at that.
So in 1988, Switzerland won. Do you have any idea who might have won it in 1988? Take a stab in the dark.
No idea.
Celine Dion.
No.
Yep.
She's a Swiss?
Well, she sung for Switzerland.
But
she's
French-Canadian.
Yeah, so it's like you don't really have to be connected. There's some sort of connection. But anyway, so she sang in French, right? But
oui.
But Switzerland has not sung in French for 10 years. So every Swiss entry for the last 10 years has been in either, I guess, German, Italian, or Romanish. So it hasn't been in French. I can't tell you the stats, but I'm not going to pretend.
Fair.
So last year, Switzerland actually got fourth place, which is really impressive. It's a good song. catchy song. The guy was called Luca Hani with She Got Me. You can hear it on the radio. You've probably heard it. You just don't even know that you've got a Eurovision song on playlist.
Okay.
But this year, the first time in 10 years, they're going to have a French song. And the singer is Jones Tears. And he's going to sing, I can't say, Répondez-moi, answer me. I can't speak French.
You're looking at me for help.
Yeah, but it's the first time. And the guy is, he's 21 and he's going to perform for Switzerland. And he grew up in the French-speaking part of Switzerland. And his parents are from Albania and Kosovo, but he grew up here in the French-speaking part of Switzerland. So it's pretty exciting. They're having a French song. So
when does that start?
It'll start in May. So I'll be watching for sure.
And how long does it last?
Like at night?
No, like how long is the competition? Like starts in May and when do they pick the winner?
That same night. It's a one night thing. The final is in the one night. It's like ongoing. Each country provides a few people and then they pick and they choose, and then it gets down to one person or one group per country, and then they all go to the finals, the semifinals, and then some of them get knocked out. And then on the final night, it's like 26 countries. And then on that night, you find out who the winner is. That's the night in May that it will be on TV.
Oh,
yeah, it's a big deal. But some people do watch it all, but I just watched the final.
But like, the countries themselves are having like the semifinals now?
No, it'll be a few days before the finals.
But it's just one song.
One song per country. That's it. You get one chance to make an impression. You thinking about going in?
No.
You're thinking about...
No, you won't let America compete.
I told you. You Americans ridiculous. Can. You just have
you
to
let
choose a
Iceland.
Country. Yeah. Australia. Australia's in it.
I mean,
yeah.
What is that all about?
Australia is in the Eurovision because we have supported the Eurovision from the very beginning, and we're an extremely multicultural country. That's the story, and I'm sticking to it.
Okay, fair enough.
Right, that's it. That's all I got for you. I mean, you have to watch it.
I, you know what? You can just text me who wins.
All right, deal. I'll be up all night watching it. So
I bet.
I'll keep you updated.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so it's fair. And then I'll let you know who wins the Masters.
Yeah, that's the Browns, second. Right?
Yes. Yes, that's the second Sunday of April.
Okay.
And that also here will be all night, and I'll let you know who wins.
All right, deal. You let me know
about... So you don't have to watch golf, and I don't have to watch Eurovision, yeah. But then we could both find out from each other who wins. I mean, I think that's just a friendly thing to do.
That sounds like an awesome deal that we've just made.
Okay. Right. I would shake, but the coronavirus thing's going around. Exactly. So
we have to elbow bump, apparently.
We should end it and then just go... I need to put on some hand sanitizer now.
Exactly. All right. So thank you to Reggie once again for coming on and being our guest. And we will have all of the details on where to find him on our Facebook pages and our Instagram pages, our Twitter pages, and our website.
There you go.
So if you want to give us a review, give us a like, give us a comment, we would appreciate it. Let us know what you think. We love you. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Ja, mi bokkarist in oppenzeller.